Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Do call in with your questions, comments, concerns at 845-277-9406. Call in to Identity Theft of the Self with John Warren and Ellen Hartwell at 845-277-9406. Let's discover together what is the self. How do we use that inner unencumbered self to create the reality we desire? Call in, share your experience, 845-277-9406. And again, we welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Welcome, 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 everyone, to our show. As you were just told, it's Identity Theft of the Self with myself, Ellen Hartwell, and the illustrious and infamous, I mean famous, John Warren. How are you today, John?
You know what? I would love to be infamous or even famous. I don't think I'm either of those things. I haven't done enough to be infamous. You're giving me too much credit, Ellen. So I'm great.
I am great. Glad to hear it. I'm glad you are great. And we will discuss your infamousness of statisticity at another time. So anyway, our topic today on Identity Theft of the Self is the gift of hindsight. Now, wait a minute. Everybody says don't dwell on the past and leave the past alone. It's all done and we just have now. And I agree with that. We only have now. However, hindsight is a gift if we use it properly. And hindsight can be very beneficial. No, we don't dwell on negative things and go, oh, poor me, you know, all these horrible, terrible things that happened in the past. Okay, you know, but no, we can look back and be able to say, hey, you know what, during that time that was so great, I was thinking this, I was feeling that, I felt on top of the world, you know, and I created all this stuff, and it was great. Okay, bookmark that and go, you know what, I was thinking in a positive way, I had a can-do attitude, I felt like, yeah, I focus on this and it starts to take form, I didn't let any negative thoughts come in and grab a hold of me, I didn't let what other people think dominate what I was doing, I didn't let the naysayer says, you can't do that, I can do that, that's what I was thinking then, let me bookmark that and remember those thoughts and feelings so that I can again create that sense of, yeah, I am at the helm of my ship. I do create my own reality. So hindsight can be very, very instructive and very, very helpful. And even with the negative stuff, if we take a few minutes and we go, okay, I really bombed at that. Yeah, well, what was I thinking? Well, I was in poverty consciousness, or I thought that I had no value, no worth, or I felt that I didn't have a connection with my higher power. Whatever it was, we can remember that and go, no more of that. I release those negative patterns to the universe, render them harmless, and jump right back into that bookmark of I can. And then we find that in I can, there's a great big capital bold letters I am. Because if you look back and you think about the times you created exactly what you wanted, you were saying, I am a homeowner, I am a car owner, I am a partner, whatever it was, but we were thinking that way, we were behaving that way in a very positive manner, countering negative thoughts with a positive one, and woohoo, we began to manifest more and more speedily that which we desire. So hindsight is a gift as long as, warning, the Surgeon General has determined. There's warning in there because if we spend our time in the past in an unproductive, negative way, guess what? We're always creating, so let's do it consciously. But to look back and find our patterns and identify those patterns that really helped us move forward and those that didn't, then we can use what worked and leave the rest exactly where it belongs, which is in the past. We want to be gentle with ourselves, forgive ourselves for mistakes, learn from them, and move on. And so the gift of hindsight, the topic of today's show, is instructive. It's not dwelling on the past. It's not poor, pitiful me. It's, hey, look at that. When I was this, I was doing that. When I was that, I was doing this or thinking this or feeling this. And it's illuminating. We just don't want to be stuck in the past. That's the warning. Don't get stuck there. Learn from it. Apply what worked for you then to today. And what didn't work, just keep scurrying it back into the past. And God bless it. May it live long and prosper somewhere else. Wouldn't you agree with me, John? You like?
You know, I love you doing the opening monologue here. You don't give me any choice. You're so full of the huge range of topics. I love that. I don't have any choice. Well, yes, I would say generally almost 90% of the points I would agree with 100%. I can't think of anything that I made a note here in what you were discussing that I had that. I'm not sure about that. I really didn't, Ellen. I love the title because the gift of hindsight is, it actually does sort of put it in this hindsight, in this place that it's not plaguing us, it's not a problem. It is actually a gift, and we can use it as such. We can, it's a gift and a tool that we can use to massage. I mean, I was stuck on that word last week, too. To massage out of our consciousness or, you know, what might be just buried underneath. What are our patterns? One of the best things about being able to think in the present tense, think and look back, and to actively imbue the future with the qualities that I want through all the tools that we've talked about, is to be sitting someplace. And, you know, one of the places where this really sort of helps me, it's helped me a lot in the last few years, is to be sitting in a situation and going, oh, I just realized, and this is the gift of hindsight, I just, you know what, oh, 2 years ago I was doing the exact same thing, I was feeling the exact same way, the people were different and the walls were different in the room, but this is a clearly a pattern. Now what is it, and I don't like it. I mean, if you like it, then, you know, it also is helpful to go back and look and say, what did I like about that? But in this case, the thing that I'm thinking of is like, oh, wow, I keep doing this, and so what is it that I believe about myself? And looking back, it's like 2 years ago, oh, I did it 2 years ago, oh, and I was doing that 10 years ago. And once you practice enough and you can forgive yourself, and it becomes not a problem that you're aware of your patterns via hindsight, honestly, you can start to say very simply, what is it that I believe? Because what we're talking about, you and I, Ellen, is that the simple fact, this whole thing, all of these shows, all of the stuff that's been written from time immemorial on about what we are discussing boils down to one phrase that is done unto you as you believe. So what is it about, what do I believe that keeps recreating this pattern? And that's one of the great gifts of hindsight, is I can say, oh, I believe that, and I thought this about myself, or, I don't know, I have a resentment against a certain type of person because my father did, and he would repeat it over and over again, and I'm carrying around my father's belief against that. And so what happens is that I create a scenario in which that type of person I'm working with, or I turns out I'm dating or whatever it is. It's like, oh, why do I believe I'm better than that, so I keep that person. So I keep bringing that person with those belief systems into my life so that I can correct them. Now, that's a very specific instance. It's like, oh, I need to examine that. Or I believe I need to be barked at by a superior in an employment situation. Why do I believe that? Is that true? Where did that come from? And then I gently go, I'm going to replace that now. No, actually, the person who, whatever the opposite is or whatever the next thing is, who has coworkers that value me in the same way that I value them, that we are creating, we are not competing, or whatever the belief system is, that you can start to sort of affirm that and turn the ship. And sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, admittedly. But the beautiful thing about hindsight, Ellen, It really is, isn't it? It's been so helpful to me. And a general sense is to notice where you are, and if it's a repetition, to say, oh, I was here five, I did this with so-and-so when I lived in Walla Walla. And now I'm living in and now I, wait a minute, and I've sort of created the same scenario with, you know, with so-and-so, who's totally different, but in Fresno. And so the pattern sticks, and I had to ask myself, okay, what is it that I believe about myself? And we have a lot to talk about in this thing, but I think that we're talking about circumstances that that we want to change, that we notice as patterns via the gift of hindsight. Also, Ellen, you can also use the exact same tool, which is to say, what is it that I believe about myself that keeps recreating this pattern, and to change that belief or to massage that belief into something else? A, B, we can also use it for positive things. And we can also observe it in other people. That person believes that. And therefore, the universe comports itself in a way that creates a scenario that you can identify that person. And we see it all the time. There's so much media. We see it all the time. What does that person believe about themselves that created that scenario? And I would stick almost entirely with positive things, because the negative stuff is just not helpful. But it's not helpful for our purposes. But, yeah, so I'm going to end my little speech here with, do you agree, Ellen, with me 100%? You can have no wiggle room. Every syllable you must agree with.
Okay, I hope you all have a nice day. I'm going to end the show now, but I hope you've enjoyed it. I do, of course. Yes, I agree with all of that. I think that we are able to create the reality we want. And people say, well, what about when this thing happens or this thing happens or that thing? Well, we still created it. And we may not have done it consciously, but we created it. So the more we look at what we're doing, what we're thinking, what we're feeling, the more we get a grip on what we're creating, why we're creating it. Sometimes we don't know why, but usually we can track it back. And does it really improve our day or does it not? And the most common one is same guy or same gal, different face. We do this all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
We bring in the same job, we bring in the same person, the same type of friend, the same neighbor every single time. That is not coincidence. Somebody once said there is no such thing as coincidence. It's God's way of remaining anonymous. And I believe that. And so, you know, let's take something a little less loaded for most of us. So the neighbors. Okay, so you constantly have the same neighbor. It may be a different face. It may be a different name. But it's the same neighbor. It's that same nosy neighbor that watches everything you do with binoculars and complains about your dog or your cat or your kids or whatever it is. And we do that until we go, you know what? I'm not going to attract that into my life anymore. I attract people that I get along with well. I have like-minded people in my life. I draw pleasant neighbors into my life. And anything in me that doesn't believe that is now removed from me and rendered harmless to the universe. Why do I add the removed from me? Because I know my subconscious mind is a tricky little bugger. And I may consciously believe something, but do I subconsciously believe it? So I take care of it that way. Anything in me that doesn't believe I have wonderful neighbors is now removed from me and rendered harmless to the universe. And guess what? I now have great neighbors. Hi, how you doing? Good. How are you? Great. Thanks. Nice neighbors. We don't attract negativity unless we believe on some level that we need that drama. Same guy, different face, or same gal, different face. You know that it's the same person. They may not look the same, but you look carefully. Yep, you've been with this person many times, and I don't mean past lives. And so if you don't want to keep repeating that, you say, I'm done with this. I only attract like-minded people, and I am conscious what is like me. How do we know that? Well, we get in touch with our authentic self, excuse me, and we use that authentic self to create joyfully and allow ourselves to be really in tune with what we're thinking, what we're feeling, and gently nudge ourselves into a very positive attitude, which then, of course, we start creating positively. And it is not always easy to let go of same guy, different face, or same neighbor, different face, whatever. But we can do it exactly how we've just been talking about. And the key to that is discernment. So when we come back here on Identity Theft of the Self, we will talk about the importance of discernment. We'll be right back. Maria and I offer twice seen readings on my website, ellenhartwell.com. Click on the tab, order your reading, and Maria and I will read for you together. It sounds confusing, but actually there's a real flow to it. Maria gets her perspective, I get my perspective, and we get an in-depth, insightful view into whatever your questions are. Twice seen readings are not only informative, they're fun. So talk to two clairvoyants today. Go to ellenhartwell.com and click on the twice seen reading tab. Yes, 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 we have a blast, Maria and I, doing twice-seen readings. We have so much fun, and you really do get a broader perspective. So do that. Go to my website, ellenhartwell.com. So we here on Identity Theft of the Self are talking about the gift of hindsight and how important is discernment. Well, if we get more discerning, if we really let ourselves see, feel, hear, think, what is in front of us. We can look at what's within us because what's outside is what you're creating from within. So we'll take an easier thing like that nasty neighbor. Well, there's something in you that believes that you need that nasty neighbor. So if you're discerning, you can figure out what's that about. Who's she remind you of? Yeah, I know, Great Aunt Martha. Okay. So then we go, you know what, I'm grateful for Great Aunt Martha in my life. She does have good qualities, and I'm going to focus on them. Same with the neighbor. Hey, how you doing? Don't even look at me. Oh, sorry, okay. And then every day, good morning, how are you? I promise you, in and over time, these people will soften. Not because you're magic and you can change somebody else, but because your perspective on that person is more positive. You're focusing on the good in that person, and you're discerning the parts that don't work so well, and you're not focusing on them. Does that make sense, John?
Absolutely. And the thing about that, Ellen, in this example that we're using, because I like the example of the neighbors, it's because it's safe and everybody can get it, but you can apply it to anything.
Right.
You can apply it to the bad marriage, you can, or bad marriages. You can apply it to girlfriend, boyfriend. You can apply it to the boss, the employee, the employer, all sorts of things. The thing that's important about this, two things will happen. Points I want to make about this. One is that they will soften if we change our perspective on them and remind ourselves to we disregard the belief. About something in me believes that the neighbors are nasty, but or they will do another thing, which is leave. The thing is that people will vibrate out of you. If that person wants to stay in I'm a nasty person, and you are stepping out of that circle that allows nastiness in your neighborhood, or you know, as a neighbor or in your circle of vibration, that person can't stay there anymore. And people have free will; they will go away and find another place that is amenable to their nastiness. And or you will see them in a different light, a more compassionate light, and the response will be from them. On some level, they will get, oh, my goodness, my neighbor's seeing me more in a softer light, more compassionately. And how often have we done this? We're in the verge of it could be an awkward confrontational situation, and you open the conversation with something like, "My goodness, where did you get that shirt? It's great," and suddenly everything changes because you are looking at the person from a point of appreciation. I want to say something. It doesn't have to be a specific belief about nasty neighbors. Can be, Ellen. I believe somewhere along the line, I picked up the belief that the world is full of abrasive, unpleasant people. And that is something that, you know, that's sort of broad. And so what's going to happen is that the universe is going to fill in that belief for you.
Of course.
Meaning that you are going to find the place to live that is next to the abrasive person, the next to the person who is in conjunction with that belief system. When you go to the post office and have to stand in line, the person in front of you and behind you are going to be fidgety and abrasive and annoying. That is the belief system that I would say, oh, no. But if you sort of start to massage, even if you don't believe it, what do I want here to happen? I want to be in a situation where my neighbors are fantastic and I know them, they're friendly, we have good boundaries, but we are also really quite neighborly. I want all of these things to happen. I believe that the world, if you can't go directly to neighbors, then, I believe that the world is full of intelligent, compassionate, funny, neighborly, loving people who I get along with. That's what the world is full of, and who want the best for me because I want the best for them. And even if you don't believe it, and that's the thing about this, Ellen, I'm really learning in my own processes right now, and I keep coming back to you over and over again lately, is just repeat it. Just repeat it. Just repeat it. Because the truth is, the fact of the matter is that these belief systems which don't serve us, like the world is full of abrasive, greedy people, well, some of them are going to end up being your neighbor if you keep thinking that. Is what we do with the negative thoughts is we repeat them, either consciously or unconsciously, they get ingrained, and then they are outpictured in our lives. So often what we need to do is repeat the opposite, but after we massage our belief into something else, because I don't believe everything. I'm working on some things in my life that I'm stretching into, Ellen, and what's interesting about this is that when I sit there and I repeat them or I write them down as an affirmation or something or as a goal, I think, oh, I don't believe that. And it's like, I just would say, whether or not it feels absolutely true right now is almost irrelevant. If you know you want it in your life, I want neighborly people, so I'm going to change my belief systems about human beings. I'm going to change this. The world is full of loving, great people. I am surrounded by them. Even if you don't believe it right now, go for it. Lean into it. And I say this all the time to people, just spend 3 to 5 minutes a day on this. Just sit there for 3 minutes and repeat that to yourself. And the world will start, the universe will start to maneuver itself around to that, to the level that you can engage it. And over time, you will, in fact, start to believe it. It will start being something that is true because you will have more and more evidence from the outpicturing that you are doing in your life. So you will believe it. And the neighbor will, in fact, become the person that you want. Maybe your friend, whatever it is, whatever your belief system. I just think it's very important to keep returning to what it is that you can sink your teeth in right now. That is my big theme on this show. Is it helpful? Okay, I just talked myself into a corner. Save me, Ellen. You know what I'm trying to say. The upshot of the whole thing being, the upshot of this little segment in my talking being that to look at the belief doesn't have to be specific to that one person. That it's in general. That in general, I believe I'm only worth $20,000 a year in income. That's very specific. It's like, okay, I don't know where that came from, but let's expand on that. I believe, people have it with money all the time. I believe, if you're walking around believing that the world is full of nasty, nasty people who are abrasive or who are mean and mean-spirited and aren't friendly, then guess what? They are going to present them to you, themselves to you left, right, and center, and some of them are going to end up being your neighbors. So change that basic belief about people.
Exactly. Starts with just affirming and saying, I can discern the type of person that I want around me. And the way to get that person is to be that person, of course. Be friendly, be warm, be caring, be forgiving. And if that doesn't come back to you, then you walk away from that. Be discerning. Is someone really going to be someone that I can enjoy being around, sharing with, trusting, and all that, or not? And if you've given it your best shot, then you just keep being pleasant, but you keep your distance. And like you said, John, they'll go away. They just will stop.
Well, they'll go away or you'll go away. I mean, how often have you worked with people, because we work with relationships, you know, romance and finance. That's what it is when you do this kind of, and when you do intuitive work and law of attraction work. People come to you with romance and finance. And how many times I say over and over again, it's not about him in particular or her in particular. It is about who you are as a person. I am a person who has, and fill in the blank, a loving, kind, monogamous mate in my life. That's who I am. I am a person who has loving, supportive, fun, generous, hilarious people in my life. And once you start becoming that person, then everything else works itself out in a weird way. I mean, yes, there is a time to go, oh, I'm too far into this, and this has to end. But more or less, I really believe that, and that's, you know, again, going back to the theme of the show, Ellen, the benefit of hindsight really is that I can identify my patterns, and some of them were very specific. Surprisingly specific when I started really to look at, oh, it's not just that I keep coming up against this obstacle. It's that there's a very specific kind of person that comes along with this obstacle in me. And so that's a very specific belief system that I need to counteract. But this is the point where I got last time, so I'm going to rectify myself. Is that what I want to say is, Ellen, is that one of the first things we have to do when we are looking at our lives presently and in the past, identifying our patterns, is to take responsibility for what we've created, even if it makes our skin crawl. And there have been things in my life that I have created that I really did not want to take responsibility for outpicturing. But one of the first things you have to do is sort of own it. Even if it's take responsibility, you might just own it and say, okay, yes, apparently that's what I did. I don't want to own it, but the only way for me to massage it into something else, to change that outcome, is to absolutely accept all of it as having happened, the good stuff and the bad stuff, and then almost immediately, I don't think this process is long, almost immediately I can begin to say, okay, what do I want? And what I want is based in, and therefore, if I want that, what do I need to believe about myself? Who do I need to become internally to have that happen? To accept that I dug the holes. I did that. It's unpleasant to think that way, but it's true. I did that. And then I can say, I must have believed this, and then I can get to what I need to change my belief system into, where I need to adjust. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, because we create it all. There's not one bit of it that we don't create, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the in-between. And so we don't want to beat ourselves up. We want to be gentle about it. But something in me believed that I needed or wanted that in my life right now, even if it appears to be negative. Because so many things that we think, oh, that's terrible, I'm so sorry you went through that, that's horrible. You know, we learned a lot and we grew from it. And we can say, you know, okay, maybe it wasn't the happiest day in my life, but I can become grateful for it because I learned, I grew, I expanded, whatever. Something good came out of it. And if I don't want to repeat it, then I want to look at what I was thinking, what I was doing. I want to be very discerning about people. I have a good friend who says, don't edit out things. Don't edit out that person lies. Don't edit out that person cheats or whatever it is, or that person just no matter what is grumpy, whatever the thing is. Don't edit that out. And then you can decide, do I really want that in my life or do I not? Because it's up to me what's in my life. And that's what's so empowering, is that, no, this is up to me. I create my own reality. And if I don't like what I'm looking at, thanks be to God, Spirit, Universe, there's the list, I can say, okay, that I'm not so pleased about. So you know what? I'm going to create something different that I do like. And my discernment tells me that I can do this. How do I do it? Well, by believing by affirming and by leaving the going from faith to belief to knowing. And if you look at the word know, there's a K-N-O-W. You take off the K, what do you have? You have now. So be in the now so you're in the know, and be in the know so you're in the now. Because in the now, everything is possible. Now, we're about to take a very quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about being in the know and in the now. But we're also going to talk about how easy it is to recognize patterns and how important it is not to beat yourself up for them. And we will be right back here on Identity Theft of the Self. Have you gone to EllenHartwell.com and ordered a journey reading? I do journey readings that will really enlighten you, not because I'm so gifted, but because what happens is as we look into the energy that you hold, past issues are brought up, present issues, and even some future issues that you can avoid or create all the more of by discovering your patterns, by discovering what is it that holds me back. Even some past life things can come up. For instance, I know someone who was terrified of the water, and you, most of you have heard about this kind of thing, but this is true. One of my callers was terrified of the water, and he discovered that he drowned in a past life. And once he knew that, he could put that in the past, as John Warren would say, spirit spent, and move forward understanding what that urge to run from any type of water was. So journey readings can help you in your everyday life, in your relationships, in your career. So call me today, go to EllenHartwell.com and purchase a journey reading, and we'll talk. Thank you so much, and enjoy your journey reading. It is transformative. Identity theft of the self. You know, I was thinking, John, during the break, that how important it is not to beat ourselves up, not to be so self-damning and self-critical, to just say, okay, yeah, I created the biggest, most colossal mess you can imagine. Well, see how powerful you are? You created that whole ungodly mess with that man or that woman or the finances or whatever. You did it. You did it. Yay, congratulations. And so don't beat yourself up for it. Look at the power that you have. So if you can create disasters, you can create masterpieces. And it's so...
I love that. I love that, Ellen. I'm sorry, are you finished? I mean, can I...
No, but since you've interrupted, go ahead.
Well, I want to say, this is okay, here's the 10%. I would just massage that into... It's pointlessness. It is pointless to beat yourself up, because what you're doing then is recreating the next out picturing of when you are beating yourself up. You're saying, "I did something wrong. So what you're doing is affirming that you do things that are wrong. And so what's going to happen is you're going to out picture something where the appearance is, at least, that you did something wrong again. I understand this pattern completely. There have been a couple of larger things in my life where I was unconscious in many ways of the pattern, which really doesn't matter. That's why you have to take a total responsibility, whether you're conscious or not. Seems unfair, just the way it works. I felt bad for a certain amount of time, I want to say, about what was clearly a mistake that I created in my life. In other words, I do think that there is a point where we say, I was wrong. That's actually a liberating thing to say. And I actually had to own that. But what it did for me, Ellen, is allow me to accept exactly what you just said, allowed me to get to that I created it, and therefore I can create the opposite or something better or something different. I can create the other stuff too. But until I had to, there have been a couple of instances where I'm not a young man, where I had to say, I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong, which is different than beating yourself up over and over again about it. Does that make sense? I mean, I think that's an important differentiation, because what we aren't, you and I, preaching here is denial. Meaning pretense or pretending something didn't happen. I will treat, there is a time and a place for pretending and for denial, but for the most part, I would say, no, there's no point in beating yourself up, but I do have to say, oh, no, I screwed that up. There's no question about that. That's on me. But that in and of itself is liberating and allows the space for the next creation, the positive creation, to come in.
And to take it a step further, John,
mm-hmm.
the whole thing is on me. I create every single circumstance, mm. every single piece of reality I have ever experienced came from me. And so good, bad, or indifferent, if we say, yeah, you know what, I created that. I may not know why, I may not know how, but I know I did. I'm accountable for it. But I'm not going to beat myself up for it. Look at how much I've grown since then. Look at how I can look at the power. If I can create what I view as negative, then I dang well can create what I view as positive. So you know what? I'm really glad that 6 years ago I was so in debt that 5 cents was a fortune. I can look back and say, yay, I am so happy about that, because what happened? I made some wonderful friends. I got the help I needed. I dug myself out. And now I'm a homeowner. And even with that, being a homeowner, there was another home that I wanted so badly. I wanted it so much, and I affirmed it. I even bought things for that particular house. I knew that house was mine. I knew it. And one snafu after the other, oh my gosh, we'd be on the phone for 2 hours if I told you, and it just didn't happen. And you know what? Instead of going, oh, I didn't get the house I wanted, I went, okay, I'm creating this. I know this. I may not get it right now, but I know that I have that or something as good or better. And the home that I got is more valuable, is in a much nicer area, and the people that live in it with me adore it, and it has property, four times as much property. And so it all came together as a masterpiece, because I said, you know what, this or something is good or better. And I'm not saying I wasn't disappointed. I had some disappointed times. I had some, oh my gosh, is this ever going to work out? Of course I did. But what happened was I got something far beyond what I thought I could ever have, much more valuable, much better area. Everybody's happy because I knew I was creating it. I might not have known why at the time, but I was creating it, and it all came together for the good because I said, I have this, or something is good or better. I did not limit God out of fear. It has to be that. No, it has to be that or something that's good or better. And so my discernment kicked in. The authentic self said, eh, you know what? It'll be fine. This is all going to work out. And it did beautifully in its perfect form and its perfect time. Do I beat myself up for having gotten way into debt and made very bad financial decisions? Absolutely not. I did the best I could at the time with what I had. I made mistakes. I was wrong. I made some mistakes. And you know what? I can look back with the gift of hindsight and say, mm-hmm. you know, I am truly grateful that that happened, because I learned so much about how to manage money and how to think things through, to be a little less impulsive and to really look at all the ins and outs of things mm-hmm. before I jumped in. So I'm grateful for those experiences. Did I like it at the time? No. As a matter of fact, I didn't like it at all. But I look back at that with the gift of hindsight and say, okay, what was I thinking? What was I feeling? What was I believing? And although I'm not willing to share that in the public, I can tell you I was thinking things and believing things and feeling things that were not going to serve me, were not in my better interest. And so now if that kind of thing comes up, my discernment goes, Hartwell, yeah. Does that look like an old pattern? Yes, it does. Do I like that pattern? No. Okay, so let's not do that again. Right, let's not. Let's create this over here. Yay. And in that way, we use that gift of hindsight, because those patterns, those beliefs, those feelings did not work out well for me, but I have a bookmark on the things that do. So if I get confused or I don't know what to do, boom, out comes the bookmark, and I go, aha, I can because I am. I create my own reality. I'm accountable for it. So let's be conscious. Let's stay positive. Let's move forward, and let's make great decisions based on appropriate input. Hallelujah.
You're rocking. That's the best segment you've ever done in your entire life. The end. Goodbye.
Have a nice day.
I really, really thought the power of what you just said, Ellen, it was just right there. And, you know, it demonstrated the theme of our show this week very clearly, because I was, you know, I discussed with you that house that you thought you really, really wanted. And it didn't work out, but you ended up getting one that's better, bigger piece of land, you know, the whole thing. And this is all relatively recent, and I will just say, Ellen, it's a great example of leaving it open-ended at the top so that we can build, so that the power, because
I
as much that. Power, what we're doing is accessing an infinite power. And very often my belief system and the belief system people work with is that, oh, I need to figure out how I can open up my little crack in the door and get some. And what's really happening is there's no little door to open up to get the power. The power is already there. What you're doing is just simply learning to focus on it and allowing it to do its thing based in the trust and the faith that the highest good is coming through, that the highest good will happen here for every person, really sentient being involved in this process. So I don't know if we can ever figure it out, but I promise you that house that you didn't get went to somebody whose highest good it is, and the highest good for the neighbors and the highest good for everybody else in that street. And the same thing is happening for you now. Now, I can't promise you that, but I have watched this enough in my life and experienced it enough in my own experience to say, oh, I can't tell you how many times I have looked back on things and went, oh, no, that worked out exactly the way it needed to for everyone's growth involved, not just mine, but for everybody involved. So I just love what you just said, and I have a couple of, you know, specific examples of noticing patterns and addressing them. I finally had to get to the belief: what is it that I believe here? And what I think I have time to sort of, you know, express is that in my practice of law of attraction and the stuff that we discuss on this show, Ellen, I have worked through a lot of poverty consciousness, and I've admitted this to you, and I've talked to other people about it, and I have other friends on this similar path. And one of my steps in this is to say, my income is boom, and get a specific figure for a month. And when I have both done practices during month and not practice, and it's very interesting, I can hit the mark, and it's not crazy. I don't go from zero, you know, $3,000 to or $5,000 a month to $5 million. I mean, I believe, honestly, I truly believe that one can do that, that it is feasible, that can happen. But I don't set myself up to fail. So I pick a figure that's based on the average of what I make, my income is, and then stretch it, and then push it a little further. So I'm adding this much to that, this percentage. And I've done this in months, and I have not done this, and this is in my work over the past few, you know, or really the last decade. And it is like clockwork that it will happen, that I can hit that number on the months that I do it. Like I start at the first of the month, say, this is what's happening this month. This is my income. It doesn't matter where either. I don't say where. It doesn't matter where it comes from. I have a couple of businesses. There's all sorts, any place. It can come from any place. I have a friend who's on this journey who always says, yeah, I feel like you're limiting yourself. And the practice for me for a long time has been exactly that. Be very specific about the numbers. And what I learned and why I got, but I got stuck at a certain level. And what I learned from that, excuse me, is because I would react to that. He would say that to me and I'd react to it like, well, no, I need to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
That I believed that I was, and I have belief system about money, that a lot of money coming at once means that I will lose control. I got that belief. but there's no way I can handle it. And it took me a long time to look at the past patterns around me and money. I'm being very, you talked about your house, being very self-disclosing here, and say, oh, I believe that. Now what I do is allow it to come from as many places as possible, and it is increasing at a level that I can handle it. And I don't have any problem. There's no issue. For some reason, I was carrying around a belief that I wasn't a mature enough person, and trust me, I ain't young, a mature enough person to handle a big influx. And the moment I changed that, things started shifting. I started getting evidence, and things started shifting. In other words, being called in for jobs, et cetera. It turns out I don't want jobs I don't want, things I don't want to do. That changed, but it immediately changed my attitude about how much can come in and how much can come in at once. And it's because, lo, these many years later, I was holding on to a very simple belief that I wasn't, which is about worthiness, that I couldn't handle any more than my specific amounts that I increased a little bit every month, a little bit every month. And that's just not true. That's just simply not true. I can handle a lot. It's a belief system that needed to be, it's a belief, not a belief system, but a belief that simply needed to be worked on and at the end of the day just thrown overboard. And I have, and things have shifted. So that's the benefit of hindsight moment. I know we have to take a break. I'm conscious of it.
We can't because I'm having computer issues, and so I can't click on anything. But it's okay because we'll just go without the break. If you'd like to, I will do one on my own. If you would like to talk to John Warren personally, go to my website, EllenHartwell.com. He has his own very own page there, and you click on his page, and it's a funny page, so make sure you see it. And you will be able to have a reading from John or a manifestation session with John. We know he's an expert. So go to my website, EllenHartwell.com, and you'll be able to contact John. Isn't that exciting? He is a little crazy. I'm not going to say he's just a little bit crazy, because he is, but so am I, and so you probably are too, or you wouldn't be listening to this show. So there you go. I have no idea what's going on with my computer. And you know what? I'm creating it for some reason that I don't know, but that's all right. And when the end of the show comes, we'll just unplug the computer. That's all, and hope it starts up.
Does that mean we can't get off the air in 15 minutes? So what does that mean now? We have to talk forever? I can't do anything to do today. I'm going to see a Christmas tree lighting ceremony, so I just can't keep this show going forever. I just want you to know, as much as you would want to be with me on the air for the next 12 hours, we just have to end it. I'm sorry.
John?
I'm sorry to break the news to you. Give me a call. No bones. I make no bones about the fact that we can get to the bottom of your belief system relatively quickly. And,
absolutely.
And get it done and start making adjustments and changes. And you know, if we're talking about the benefit of hindsight, I do think, Elliot, it's also important. I think everything is important, apparently. But one of the things that is important is, can you tell I'm always overhearing myself, is to say that this doesn't need to be 30 years on the therapy couch, and it's because it's not. It's not. We can work from the manifestation backwards to understand what you are believing that caused this situation to happen in your life, and very often around romance and finance and self-esteem stuff, you believe that, and we're just working on raising our own vibration, and the noisy neighbor goes away, and the wrong partner, boyfriend, girlfriend goes away, and the right one shows up when we work on our inner lives and raise our vibrations, whatever way we can or need to. So I don't think when you say, you know, looking back, it's 20th century really thinking about that you need to examine every single moment and go back and heal it. And there's some benefit to doing some of that. Yeah, but yeah, exactly. There have been things I needed to look at that I found very helpful. I'm glad that I did. But this is not a long process. You can start changing your life for the better right now.
And you can pick one thing. let's say we'll pick neighbor because it's not as emotionally loaded. So let's
yep.
say nasty neighbor. Hi, nasty neighbor. I'm waving at her now. How are you? Good. We smile. We are pleasant. And no matter what they do, we smile and we're pleasant. And if we cannot affect a change in ourselves enough, then tomorrow we do the same thing and enough, and we affirm, I have wonderful neighbors. We get along just fine. We may not be best friends, but we're very friendly, on very friendly terms. Hi, how are you? That's all you need. Hi, how are you? And so every time you see that neighbor, you say to yourself, wow, look at her. You know what? She's really working hard in her yard. Or, oh, she's so nice to her dog. Or, oh, I love her Christmas decorations. Or whatever. Find something positive about your neighbor, because I promise you there are many positive things about your neighbor. And focus on that. And focus on it regularly. Every morning or every day, find something that's great about your neighbor. And in time, you'll believe it. And you'll see, either the neighbor starts to be nice, or they move away, or you do, but it'll resolve itself nicely.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely. And if you can't, and it's, Ellen, I think this is important, and this is one of those things for me that's important to me. If I'm so stranded in how much the neighbor annoys me, and obviously anybody who's listening can fill in the blank for who their neighbor is, in quotes, what they're working on. If I'm so into that, and I can't get my mind around it, and this usually happens with family members, where it's like, yeah, I can start thinking I love my sister, but as soon as I think I'm about, you know, my sister or my brother, I get so angry or so upset that I can't think around it. I can go general. If you need to, always go general, meaning go broad and say, all people in my life are kind and loving and cool and enjoyable, all of them. And then after a while, you can actually soften. If you can't look at your neighbor without getting angry, then you can start broad. And I think that has been helpful to me. It's like, okay, for some reason, I can't let go of this one person in my life, fill in the blank. But what I can do is say, I'm willing to forgive the same type of thing in this person, and this person, this person, because I'm a forgiving person, and because the people in my life don't wrong me. And then after a while, and when I say a while, I'm not talking about years. I'm talking about less than 30 days, often less than 15 days, sometimes less than a week. I can then look at the neighbor and say, you know what? She really does love the yard, and she's really good at it. And it'd be really nice to see out my window somebody caring for her land like that. I can see one thing that I find great. And I can work with that. And you are exactly right, Ellen. How many times have we seen this? What will happen when we are actively, proactively massaging, looking at, working with our beliefs, and not a lot, 3 to 10 minutes a day, how often have we said, you know, it was like, oh, guess what? The boss was transferred. Or guess what? The woman, you know, the crazy neighbor next door decided, her kids decided to put her in a home. You know, whatever, not a home, but you know, she decided to go live in a retirement village because it'll make her happier. Or, you know, a thousand ways these things work out. Or suddenly you compliment, you walk by and you go, I love your yard. And suddenly the whole world opens up and she's bringing you pies and saying, how are you?
Yeah, but instead, are they apple pies?
They are apple pies from Julian, California. I'm very specific about that.
Okay,
just want you to know that.
Just want to be sure.
The best apples in the world. there you go. So you know what I mean, Ella?
I do.
Exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
And start from wherever you are and start working on the presentation, working on believing that the world is what you want it to be.
Right, and you can do it in very even shorter-term things, like say you have to go somewhere this afternoon, and you say, okay, I am so grateful that I have a vehicle or transportation, a train, a bus, doesn't matter. I'm so grateful I can get from A to B, and I have a smooth trip, a happy trip, Everybody's driving well. I find a parking spot, and I'm so grateful that I can get from A to B. Instead of, oh my God, people drive like they're maniacs, and the traffic in this city is just unbelievable. Okay, that may be true, but if you start saying, no, you know, I don't hit any red lights, and when I do hit a red light, I sit there and praise. Like, I'm so grateful for this vehicle, whatever, find something positive to dwell on, and I get to where I'm going easily, and I just had a great little journey. You watch and see. Pretty soon, nobody's honking at you and slipping you certain fingers, and nobody's screaming, and nobody's darting into your parking spot, and things go much more smoothly. And sometimes I find that manifesting something in quote small, because there's no big or small, but a small thing like that, then I go, oh, wait a minute. Maybe there is something to this. Huh. And then I kind of graduate myself from, I find $5 unexpectedly today. And then pretty soon, I find $20, or I get a longer reading, so I make a little more than I thought. Whatever it is, and you start to trust that, you know what, I do create my own reality. I am authentic. I am joyful. I am grateful. And pretty soon, what you're looking at is brighter, sharper, clearer, much more peaceful and calm, and you're a much happier person. It doesn't take long. And people think, well, you have to be studying this for years. No, you don't. You just have to hit the apply button, John.
Well, I hit the apply button. What happens, and it's interesting about it, it becomes a fascinating thing to study. So you choose to study it, and you keep doing it. And exactly. When I was in religious science training, Ellen, the first week demonstrated on, I think it was $20 or $50, I'm maybe misremembering, but demonstrated unexpected $20 or $50. It was spring. There was a spring football game I wanted to go to. We didn't have a ticket. I thought I'd go down and see it, and somebody handed me a ticket that was for $20 or $50. I can't remember what it was, but to see this game at the Los Angeles Coliseum, I remember it very specifically, which, oh, and I just sort of went, okay, today? There's going to be an extra, say it was 20, an extra $20 in my life. That's what I'm going to manifest, period, and that's what's going to happen. But in retrospect, that seems very simple and very small, and it's actually what we do to convince ourselves. The universe doesn't care from big to small. We are convincing ourselves that we're worthy of that. And you're exactly right. Practice on whatever it is that you want to practice on, and it's fun and it's joyful. And examine the parts of your past that it's helpful to examine and check in with yourself. I mean this, as you're doing this to the listeners and say, is this helpful for me or am I reliving something because I enjoy the resentment of it? And look, one of the things I've had to, I enjoy working over that resentment about that one. But does it serve me? No. Will the resentment manifest in something I find unpleasant? Yes. So I'm going to let that go. But exactly. I will look back and say, oh, I picked up that belief system. And holidays is a great time to do it because we are exposed to the people that are invested in our belief systems and that came along very early. Very often you're visiting those people at the holiday time and say, oh, okay, I see where I got that and I can be forgiving and compassionate about it. And there are things that it worked for them. It absolutely, that belief system worked for them. It doesn't work for me. And I can go, okay, that's a looking at the past, not regretting the past, not wanting to shut the door on the past, but allowing the past to be what it is and use it, again, as another tool to say, I got that belief from people doing their best, and now I can change it. And let it
right, and it becomes an exciting journey. And when you make a mistake, you go, yep, I made that mistake. I did. But I don't have to repeat that mistake. And so hindsight can be quite a gift. I'm not going to be able to do anything after I turn my computer off at the end of this show, John, so we will talk at another time. For some reason I've created some hullabaloo with
what are we doing next week? We're doing a show about light, bringing light into the world.
Yes, bringing
more
light.
Hanukkah time and Christmas time and the time of light, bringing light into the darkness in December. My favorite time of year.
Exactly, me too. I love it. So we're going to talk about how you are light and how you bring light and where is light, and how do we use light. And we are going to say have a wonderful week. We will be back here next Saturday at noon on Identity Theft of the Self. Thank you, John. And we're saying goodbye. Say goodbye to the nice people, John.
Good night. Goodbye, nice people. Be kind to yourself and someone else today.
Exactly. Thanks, John. Thank you for listening, everyone. Have a great week. Bye.